You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
When the chips are down and democracy's back is up against the wall, two radio veterans step up to the microphone to right the wrongs, standing for truth, justice, and just because. To say what needs to be said, it's John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX.
Yeah. What? I think she's a little buff up there. She's working out. She's working out.
I don't know.
The anchor. What's her name?
The CNNA?
Yeah.
I forget.
You know the news anchor's names. I'm never quite sure.
Yeah, I can't remember
her name. She's starting to look like she's working out.
John, you can look like that too.
I know. Well, I do work out.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. It's a battle, you know. It's a battle with age and working out.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning.
Well, good morning to everyone out there. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous morning. This is going to be a fantastic day. Just have a feeling that it is going to be a great day and a great week. Oh, man, I'm as happy as I could be.
What's wrong with you? You're Mr. Positive all of a sudden.
Yeah, forget it.
Everything okay?
Yeah, well, I had to get that out.
Okay.
Now I'm angry again.
Okay, good. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's 44 degrees currently.
Yeah.
Do you have your Samsung WMDX watch, Andy?
I do have it. I forgot it this morning. I drove back and
really?
Got it. Yeah. Well, I'm going to do a lot of walking downtown today.
Are you?
Yeah. Right after we get off here, I'm going to go out and census.
Oh.
All right. Currently, 49 degrees. High today, around 78 damn hot degrees out there. Holy mackerel. That's bad, right?
What time is the sunrise?
Well, the sunrise, you would ask that. 5:44, it's already up. Already up. And now, sunset at 8:05.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mark it down on the calendar.
Okay, we will do that. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day. I guess there's some fog out there in some areas down around Janesville, but, you know, they can deal with that. They'll be okay. We don't have to deal with it. Okay.
I'm
not worried.
Well, they can certainly deal with it, I hope.
Okay. Let's see what the afternoon high might be if we dialed up one of our many devices here. What are we? You know, we haven't done the slot machine for a
while. No, we really have to do the one-arm bandit.
The one-arm bandit. It's rolling. Here we go. First number is a zero. Seven. Four. 74 is the afternoon predicted high. You were predicting 78, your Samsung
78,
watch,
WMDX
watch.
Yeah. We'll see who's right this time.
Okay.
I think I have a feeling I will be right again.
Yeah, it's going to be nice and warm.
Feels hot out there.
It does.
Might be the dew points or humidity.
Dew points are high,
with
humidity.
We'll check with Brittany. Somehow,
by the way,
she's impressed with my obsession with dew points.
Well, at least it's not barometric pressure because, you know, we can handle the dew points, but barometric pressure is a whole nother story.
Yeah, it is.
What are they doing in the parking lot here? They got all these cones
up. I know,
up.
Why
got
is
all
that?
They're diverting traffic in the parking lot. There is no traffic to divert this hour of the morning.
Yeah.
But they're setting up to do something again.
Again.
And it always takes like about 3 weeks before they actually start doing something.
Right.
Maybe there are different levels they're working on here. I don't know.
Maybe they, cleaned up the ramp before they should have cleaned it up. Remember? I mean, it snowed a little bit, and suddenly all the road salt and everything is back in the ramp. So maybe they have to watch all that out.
Just never ends out there.
I know.
Should repaint the line. When are they going to repaint the lines?
Yeah, I can hardly see.
Gordy, why don't you grab a can of paint and go and do it yourself?
Well, damn it, I think I will. Give me some paint. Give me
Wait
a brush.
Minute, he's got the spray cans.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. Oh, from the mattresses?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, this should be a busy time of the year for you.
Yeah.
Right?
During Hippie Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. I was going to go out and look for, free furniture and other goodies.
Oh, my God, really?
Well, okay. Yeah.
Well, hope you've... hopefully you'll find a teletype in there someplace.
Well, let's look at the National Day calendar. What do you say? It's a 6 days
of May. Oh, yeah, let's
May.
Do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all made it through Cinco de Mayo. Okay. Is it or is it not? Is it National Teacher Appreciation Day? National Nurses Day? National Beverage Day? National Italian Restaurant Day? Or National Crepe Suzette Day?
Why don't you just say, isn't it National Day-to-Day Day? I mean, this is just like, this is the most boring list of days I've ever heard. No detail in them. I'm just thinking.
You're stunned.
It's not Nurses Day today.
You don't remember. Well, it is Nurses Day, so you're wrong.
It's not Teachers Day today.
It is National Teacher Appreciation Day. You get double buzzer.
Well, it just seems like so generic.
Sam, what do you think?
Oh, did you say Italian Restaurant Day?
I did say
it's
that.
It's not Italian Restaurant Day.
You are correct, sir.
All right.
You got it right. Way to go.
Yeah, that is a dumb day.
That one would jump right out at you.
I called you out on that one. I must have missed you saying that.
Yeah, I think
you know,
so.
My attention span is just this long.
Well, I hide the screen from you now because I know you've been peeking lately.
There
we go.
There
now
you
gonna,
go.
Now you can move it back my to its headphones. Normal position.
Headphone jack is kind of cutting in
it,
and out for
is
some
it?
Reason.
Sorry about that, pal. No, is it okay now? Is it not working?
It's fine now.
What's the problem?
We got this gigantic desk, and you two still managed to clutter it up with all of these wires and cables and computers.
I know.
It's what we do.
And all these damn stories that we're bringing every day.
Okay. Any, let's see. Oh, let's go over the national.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
National Teacher Appreciation Day on Tuesday during the first full week of May is a reminder to show your appreciation for teachers everywhere. They do have a tough task, don't they? Well, more so than ever.
They do now.
We are using this National Day to say thank you to all the teachers for their time and dedication to educate our children. And let's see. National Education Association describes National Teachers Day as a day for honoring teachers and recognizing their lasting contributions that they make to our lives. Do you remember any teachers from your young childhood there, John?
Well, I do. Yeah.
Well, any that stick out?
I had an English teacher that was an inspiration, actually.
Yeah?
Just a fantastic. Actually, two English teachers. Yeah. One really encouraged me to enter the debates she had in the classroom.
Mm. Yeah?
Yeah, public speaking.
Oh, yeah.
That was something else. Thing. Yeah.
Is that what led to your career in radio?
Yep. Yeah, that was it.
What was your
that was the tipping point.
What was that teacher's name? Do you remember?
Nope.
Okay. Did you ever go back to the school to thank her, you know, years later, you know?
I regret never having done that, especially to the one teacher that I had, Mr. Scardinia.
Okay.
He was a fantastic teacher, English teacher.
Well, maybe it's not too late. Maybe he's still, you know, teaching at the school.
Well, when we did book reports like on Great Expectations, I drew a comic book version of Great Expectations.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually pretty damn good.
Do you still have it?
I do.
Wow.
And he encouraged it. He was just fascinated by one of the kids in class drawing comic books. But, and he just loved the idea. So anybody who can encourage a student to just use their creative is a friend of mine.
Sam, did you have any teachers that you think of as you start to enter your teaching career?
No, they were all awful, and that's why I want to become just like them. I want to ruin some kid's life.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you're motivated, I guess.
A little anger there. Well, take your revenge,
man. I'm kidding. Yeah, I had some wonderful teachers, and that's partially why I'm following in their footsteps.
Okay, good. Okay, I think I'm done asking questions on that.
Well, you know, Tim Slecker is a good person to look up to.
Yeah.
I really enjoy him. He's open-minded and he's got a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking with him on Thursday.
Thursday morning.
Yeah. Did I mention it's National Crepe Suzette Day? If I didn't, I should have.
I don't think it is today. You did.
Well,
well, that was the only interesting one. Oh, all right.
It's
is that the right way to say it? Crusette?
Let's get Julian on the line.
Crusette. Hey,
let's get Julian going here.
Anyway.
Yes, let's see. While there are slightly different versions of crepe suzette, the dish is quite distinct from most other crepe dishes.
Why is that?
Well, the recipe first appeared in the 19th century in Paris, courtesy of Chef Henri Charpentier. According to the chef's memoir,
well done.
He accidentally ruined a sauce for crepes while he was serving Prince Edward of Wales, the would-be King Edward the 7th, and his guests. With no time to recover, he tested the burned sauce and discovered the flavors blended deliciously. See, it was an accidental recipe.
Yes.
That they came up with.
Crepe a lot of Suzette's. Us continue to do that.
Crepe Suzette history. Okay, mm-hmm. There you go. Did we get Julian on the line on the pronunciation of crepe Suzette? Sam?
I've got crepe. I don't have crepe Suzette, but I think that's going to have to do for
all
now.
All right, let's try that.
Let's try.
Let's see what
happens. All right, let's go about pronouncing it with a typical French pronunciation. In French, we would say crepe.
Crepe.
The S at the end in French is silent, but in English or American, it'd be fine to say crepes. Crepes. One crepe or several crepes. In French again.
All crepes.
Crepe.
Crepe. Been saying it wrong all this time.
Crepe. Suzette.
Crepe. What is it from? Crepa?
Not crepa. Crepe.
What about
crepe? Well, no, that's English way of saying it. Didn't he say crepa?
Crepa.
You almost
at
like
the beginning.
Crepa.
Crepa. Crepa.
Crepa. He's going back. He's going to check. I'm sure it's crepa. So
it.
I'm going to go on.
A... galettes. So how do you go about pronouncing it with a typical French pronunciation? Yep. In French, we would say crepe. Crepe.
Okay. Crepa. Okay.
Crepa. All right. You weren't paying attention. But now when I go to the restaurant, it's crepa.
What about croissant?
So how do you say croissant in French with the typical French pronunciation? Yeah. Is it croissant,
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 croissant, croissant? It's croissant.
Well, essentially, if you are able to pronounce the French R like the French do, just say croissant.
Croissant.
Croissant. Croissant. The T at the end of croissant is definitely silent.
That's
so do not say croissant, but rather croissant.
Boy, he's hung up on this one.
He's going to go on for hours.
Go away. Okay.
Croissant.
Croissant. Okay.
And crepa.
I can't believe that one word launched us down this path of pronunciation guides.
Yep.
Well,
it did.
Gordy, you discovered it.
I did. I just, by accident.
I could not believe. And he's got every word.
He does. He's got it covered. It's National Beverage Day, so enjoy a nice beverage. And coffee. Got the coffee going. National Nurses Day. We salute all the nurses out there on National Nurse Day. Okay. This has something to do with Florence Nightingale's birthday.
Oh, okay.
She was a celebrated English social reformer, statistician, and the founder of modern nursing.
Now, I've got to say, I think the nurses are definitely the pivotal point of healthcare in this country.
They seem to carry the load, yeah.
They seem to be doing everything now. I mean, every time I send an email to my doctor, they take care of it.
They do.
They're the ones that give you the advice, tell you what to do next.
They are amazing.
Yep.
We salute all you nurses out there, okay? It's 19 minutes past the hour. When we come back, Sam will open up the history books and we'll see what's going on for this history.
We'll try to curb our enthusiasm here on the show.
Coming right back with John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Beautiful. Why don't you just go?
He saw me do it, and then he just had to copy it.
Wait till the mic is on. That's the best time to do that.
Well, you know, if we would get the switch to the mic. Never mind.
One of these days it'll be put in place. But
it's 23 minutes past the hour and 46 degrees. This portion of the show being brought to you by... Why did you do that? I glance over at John and he's making a big face at me.
A big surprise face because you said that there's really, really low temperature. And I'm thinking, what are you doing, man?
It's 46.
It's like 52 degrees out there.
Is it really?
I feel like it's in the 40s.
It's getting warmer. Well,
I wore a jacket on the walk over here.
I know, but the sun is up. It's starting to warm up.
52, is it really?
It's 52 degrees.
Is that what you're watching?
Yes.
Really? Okay. 52. We'll go with that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. They're located at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. And they, you know, as a hearing aid center, they favor passion over profit. They're fast and flexible appointments are very handy. Family owned, their communities focused for 67 years. They've been in business, building trust with Madison families, offering personal expert hearing care at reasonable prices. The Madison Hearing Aid Center, they offer individualized care, not one size fits all. Insurance is accepted, no hassles, and convenience over complexity. You went out there last week, right?
It was simple, easy, got the right hearing aids for me.
Yeah.
It was easy.
Are you wearing them right now, by the way?
I am not.
Okay, you don't need them because you got the headphones on.
I got the headphones on.
Yeah. They're helping people, changing lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving quality of life through better hearing. It's the Madison Hearing Aid Center. You can find out a lot more by either stopping in. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison, or go to their website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. You can call us or text us on the Civic Media app.
Going out to a movie this afternoon.
You are?
Yeah.
What I thought movie? You went out to movies already on Saturday night, and that's why you showed up so late to the WBA.
No, I was watching movies at home.
At home in his home theater.
Well, what are you going to watch today?
Well, you know, the point, all the Marcus Theaters have a deal on Tuesday.
Tuesdays, yeah.
So the whole family's heading out about 4:30 to see the new movie from Marvel, Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts.
They've always got a new movie, don't they?
No, they don't.
No, I'm not sure.
No, it's been a long, long time before Marvel has come out with good movies, or any kind of movie for that matter.
I haven't heard anything about Thunderbolts. Is this a new franchise or something?
Yep. It's a new get-together of some of the former villains and heroes all grouped together in this kind of mismatched supergroup.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
but there's a lot of good reviews on this thing. Even my kids are saying, yeah, well, people are liking this one. Okay. Normally they don't. They're very critical of everything, including the lighting.
Whether it's in focus.
Yes, whether it's in focus. How's the sound? That's your line.
That's it. Yeah, I'm very concerned with the technical quality of the movies today.
Yeah, so much for plot.
But
the Thunderbolts, it looks like it might be a really good one, and we're just dying to have another superhero movie out there.
Well, you know, it's probably been a decade since I saw a Marvel movie in a theater.
Wow.
More than that.
Well, you're Mr. Theater, man. You should be out there in the theaters all the time. You should be appearing in every
movie. I know,
movie.
I'm just not the biggest fan of Marvel. I don't know. I got to work back up to it.
Okay. Well, the Marvel Universe, the original one with all the superheroes, the original superheroes, definitely check that one out. You know, we don't know where they're going to go with the new list of heroes, the B heroes, I think, and the more current comic book heroes. So they're all out there now. They're bringing them back. Thunderbolts is the first one anyway. So we'll see how that works out. Okay. I'll let you know tomorrow.
Thank you. Johnny at the movies. Can't wait.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Let's open up the history book there, Sam.
Come on, Gordy.
You do. You're required to open it up. Oh, God. Some of it's coming in here. cough.
Yeah, okay. I was able to actually do an actual cough. Thank you for that.
Now you finally get a taste of what I have to deal with every day. You make me open this darn book.
I hope the new guy, you know, I hope you train him well. on that history book.
Let's hope,
we don't scare him away.
Let's hope he doesn't cough.
Yeah. Well, we played Cold as Ice on the way into this segment here, because today in 1851, a guy by the name of John Gorey, sounds a lot like John Gordy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't even notice that till now. John Gorey, he patented the very first ice maker.
Okay, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, prior to that, you had to, I mean, and
put
for a
water,
long time
put,
after
put
that,
water in
water
a
tray and
let
put it,
it
in the freezer, right? But now this is an ice maker automatically.
Well, no, I mean, like refrigeration in general. They didn't have that before then. Before refrigeration, you had to take a big chunk of ice in the wintertime, store it underground where it was cold enough, and then use it throughout the
year. So the ice maker is just an ice tray with water in it in a freezer now.
Yeah, that's what it was, John.
All right.
What else happened?
Let's see. Today, 1954, Roger Bannister, he cracked the four-minute mile that for a long time we thought humans would never surpass, being able to run a mile on under 4 minutes. His final time was like 3 minutes, 59 seconds, and I think 4/10 of a second. So he just barely got in under that record.
Good for him.
Yeah. Today, 1994.
Is that a big deal?
I mean, it was a big deal back then. 1954, that was a,
big athletic record.
I take a walk around downtown Middleton, and it's 1 mile, and I get that done in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
You're a fast walker, gosh.
Okay.
We'll try running it then. I want to see how well you do.
I'm gonna break that guy's record anyway.
Yeah. Anything else before
Let's see. Today, 1994, the Channel opened. The Channel Tunnel.
I love that name.
Yeah, it's such a funny name.
It is
between
a great name.
The UK and France. You can drive between them.
Channel. I love that.
We're coming back with more of John and Gordy after this time out for the Midwest Farm Report. Food and farm on your table.
And, of course,
a lot more.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down, until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems.
This is grade A weapons grade stupidity.
Just doing my civic duty, sir.
We can duck and cover. There's a fallout shelter right there.
There's no way to survive this, you idiot!
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really tough getting into some of these stories.
I know it. That's why it's Idiocracy. 635, and it's 53 degrees now. Temperatures
WMDX
climbing up into the
time
70s.
Is exactly 635 and 49.
Okay.
All right.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing that remains constant since they opened their doors in 1958, John, they are still direct to consumer. They provide superior products at unbeatable prices. And they have two locations in Madison, East Side and West Side. Or you can check them out at verlo.com. Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255, or you can get a hold of us always on the Civic Media app. You can call us or text us there. We have somebody at the studio door here. Hang on.
Hello, everyone. Okay. I hate to break it to you guys. Yeah. There's something wrong with you. You're certainly not very good. You're fired.
Okay. All right. Well,
I thought we were...
I thought there was something wrong with him.
On solid footing here, but I guess not.
Okay. Well, all right.
I'll have to deal with that later. I'm truly waiting for the guys to bust in here.
Yeah?
You know, ice. I mean, we're
careful
citizens,
what you wish
that
for.
Doesn't really matter.
We're surrounded by windows. They will bust in here.
Oh, boy.
Man. Yeah.
Well, thank goodness we got a window we can escape out of.
These windows don't open,
my
friend.
We're going to rappel down the side of the building.
They don't open and we're a story up in the air.
That's right.
So what's happening with Idiocracy?
Well,
what do you got?
A lot of things are going on in Idiocracy.
Yeah, why?
And I just think that maybe we should take a final look at the first 100 days listed by Rachel Maddow, who titled her thing "Oops," and these are all the mistakes. I mean, truly, we have been through a number of these already. This is the final version, the final list.
This is part three.
Yes,
we
part three.
We had to split it up into three or four
I know,
minute
it's outrageous. It just doesn't stop. But let's try this one.
All right. Let's do that.
Then this one. Headline, Trump administration admits Maryland man sent to El Salvador prison by mistake. 2 days later, headline, Trump's tariffs hit remote islands. One is home to mainly penguins. The next day, headline, we'll make mistakes, says RFK Jr., as fired U.S. health staff asked to return.
Yeah. Mm.
3 days later, headline, economists reveal major math blunder in Donald Trump's tariff formula, which inflates the impact by 400% and could spark global trade chaos.
Yeah.
The next day, headline, National Park Service restores Underground Railroad webpage. Oops. Oops. Had we messed that up? Will you guys please pretend that that was a mistake and not something we totally did on purpose, but then we couldn't defend it once we did it, and so we just quietly undid it while hoping you wouldn't notice? Can we leave it like that? Same day, headline. God. Doge cuts at a Florida manatee refuge have been reversed. Same day, headline. Trump administration says it cut funding to some life-saving UN food programs by mistake. Oops.
Oops.
Next day, headline, Trump announces sudden reversal on tariffs.
This is every
day. This past Friday night. New York Times headline, Trump officials blame mistake for setting off confrontation with Harvard. Quote, the April 11th letter from the White House to Harvard should not have been sent and was, quote, unauthorized. And it hasn't even slowed down. I mean, just this week, headline, Trump administration reverses course. Restores funding for critical weather data centers. Yeah. Headline, Elon Musk's hand-picked IRS chief lasts just 72 hours. The story of this first 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency is sometimes a very scary movie because of what he really does seem to be trying to do and what he has already done to some people and some parts of our government and some elements of our country. Sometimes it is a very scary movie. It is sometimes also an action movie with people all over the country springing into action and standing up to stop him from doing those things as best they can. But the one thing it has consistently also been from the moment he got back to Washington is an unfunny farce, a slapstick mess of reversals and mistakes and oops, let's pretend we didn't do that and let's try to undo it and let's hope no one notices just how dumb it was when we really did do it and we can't even really defend it, so oops. Yeah. I mean, the one word that most sums up Donald Trump's term in office thus far, heading to 100 days in, the one word that best sums it up is oops. Just because they're trying to do really, really bad things doesn't change the fact that they're also just
okay.
But they're also just what?
I don't know.
Oh, and is that where it cut off?
Is that really just where it ended? Okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, there are so many. Okay. He is doing so many things. There's so many executive orders. We can't keep track of what he's signing next. Okay. So, but there are so many mistakes that we can't keep track of that either.
And, that's it. The fire hose.
And so we're kind of, you know, trying to keep track. Keep up, and we can't. Thank you to Rachel Maddow for at least, you know, compiling all that stuff, because I was thinking of doing it myself. Thank goodness she beat me to the punch.
Yes. You know, Doug is echoing what you just said. He texts in, while the Trump administration is destroying the country, Donald Trump himself is practicing the art of distraction. Book out soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of distraction.
And not only that, you know, we're watching the monitor here in the studio at CNN, and they're talking about all of the lies, all of the misinformation about the tariffs, what's being done, how much money is coming in, who's getting the new higher tariffs, who's tariffing who, why we have the tariffs in place in the first place. You know, they're always talking about Canada, and they're always talking about how Canada has a tariff on milk. And it's a tariff on milk only if we oversupply milk to Canada. If we sell too much to Canada, we get penalized a 500 or 400 or 300% tariff if we do that, but we don't do it.
Well, the Canadian Prime Minister is going to meet at the White House with Trump today. They're going to straighten all this stuff out, I'm sure.
Oh,
there's no problem there.
I'm sure there's going to be a fist fight.
There'll be a meeting.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be a fist fight.
They'll sort it all out.
All right. Could you cue up 134 from last month? This is Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC.
Okay.
And I'm just fascinated by the title that I gave it. I mean, this is like a half a month old, but I wrote, Stephanie Ruhle describes the U.S. slip into idiocracy.
Oh.
So I'm thinking, hey, what a place for this particular story. Let's listen to it.
What do you think the likes of Vietnam can do to erase our trade deficit? You know what the answer is? They can't. And if you want to onshore all of our manufacturing, if you want to do that, what Peter Navarro talked about, what Howard Lutnick talked about, you want to do that? It'll take trillions of dollars and 20 years to reconfigure the global supply chain and bring it all home. And for our allies in the West, those developed countries, they are certainly not rushing to partner back up with us. Not with a U.S. president who goes on national TV laughing, saying they're all kissing my ass. It is safe to say that the perch we and our American exceptionalism sat on, even a few months ago, has certainly been lowered. We've got an agriculture secretary who tells us, build a chicken coop in your backyard because eggs are expensive. We have a defense secretary sharing military secrets in a group chat. Mm-hmm. We are potentially lawlessly firing thousands of federal workers and defunding science while we buy crypto. We have lost an enormous amount of credibility and trust. But what scares me is that every investor I speak to, even some who support this president, has given me the same message. If the bond market continues to drop and drop and drop, you know where it goes? It bankrupts the country. Something Donald Trump knows a lot about.
Well, he sure does, doesn't he? Wow.
Okay.
So he's doing it to the U.S. now.
Yeah.
He's going to bankrupt us, just like the casinos.
Didn't that happen once before that the U.S. just ran out of money? I'm pretty sure it happened in the late 1800s. I'm pretty sure it was J.P. Morgan had to, like, literally bail out the country.
Well, that,
maybe that's what Trump
possibly
wants.
It's
very possible, cool. Yeah. This is how crazy things are. You know, our crazy Senator Ron Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, mark that on the calendar. I have never referred to him as a senator. It's so disrespectful. But anyway, okay. I always call him dumb Ron Johnson. But anyway, this is amazing. Keep this in mind, okay, before we play this clip. Johnson just voted against a measure to block Trump's tariffs, okay? Voted against a measure to block Trump's tariffs.
Okay.
But he did say this. Let's listen.
I will say that I'm hearing an awful lot from manufacturers in Wisconsin. You know, if this thing drags on, if the tariffs remain high, their business will be put out of business. One good piece of economic news with the recent numbers, business investment was up 9.8%. President Trump and his team has to be very concerned if this trade war continues, if the uncertainty and instability continues, that investment is going to fall off the cliff. And that'd be very bad for America. So again, this is a bold, but I think it's a reasonably high-risk strategy. I'm hoping that he succeeds, but the sooner he succeeds, the sooner we can bring certainty and stability to the American economy, the better.
Well, wouldn't that be nice if it succeeds?
Yeah.
So, of course, he blocked the tariffs. So, okay. But yeah, he's full bore with this.
Oh, of course.
Republicans
he's all in.
Yeah, he just loves this stuff.
Mm.
All right, now
let's head to the phones.
All right, let's go to Matt out there in Middleton.
Good morning,
my
Matt.
My hometown.
What's on your mind?
Now, anyway.
Yeah.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah.
Naomi Klein has a new piece out in The Guardian, which lays out the kind of philosophy and the reason we're seeing a lot of this far-right craziness under Trump, but it's also kind of worldwide with the other groups that they talk to. And Steve Bannon has highlighted some of this for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why the people on the far right and the so-called patriots and the Christian nationalists and all these weirdos, they actually do not believe in a future. They believe in a dystopian apocalyptic future where Jesus comes back, whatever the religious nonsense of it is. But they basically think that because of their own doing, because corporations and the ruining of the environment, they kind of see it as a done deal. There's no way to fix that.
Yeah.
So they see a future of walled in communities where their chosen people have some kind of livelihood under the corporation that owns the city, This is what Starbase in Texas is, Elon Musk's attempt to do something like this.
Yep.
But the sad part is they want to wall themselves off from everybody else.
Yeah.
And they see consistent war throughout the future, which is why they want so much for the Pentagon. So the rest of us need to band together and show a future that is actually sustainable and safeguards our ecosystems. And there's a lot of science that can do that. But the young people have already bought into this apocalyptic future because of the internet and all the nonsense that we're told.
Well, that's true,
Matt. So I just wanted to bring that up. It's very dark what these people actually believe.
Yes, it is.
It is very dark, Matt. And Matt, thank you for stealing the next story that I was going to play.
What? That's coming up.
We're going to get to Naomi Klein in just a few moments.
We'll be back with more of John and Gordy in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7. John and Gordy in the morning. We've got a text here from Doug. They believe that Jesus is coming, but we're talking about the end times, by the way, and the latest book from Naomi Klein, The Rise of End Times Fascism. Anyway, Doug is taking off on Matt's call from Middleton. They believe Jesus is coming back. Why not? The John and Gordy Show came back, and then he followed that up with another text, I believe.
Okay. Just when all hope had been lost,
yes, right. All
to reemerge.
Yeah, here we are. It is It is 6:53, and temperatures today climbing up into the mid-70s. Coming up in our next hour, we will find out all the latest on the Madison Night Market. The first one's coming back for this spring and summer, Thursday night. Downtown from 5 until 9. We'll be out right across the street from the station in front of the Orpheum with our booth area there. Yeah, you can stop by. I think we'll have the John and Gordy stress balls. We'll be handing out some of those.
Yeah, we're going to throw them at people.
Yeah, and we also have the bottle openers and some other things. So Madison Night Market, Thursday night. We'll talk to Matt Trammell in our next hour.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
And now you mentioned Naomi Klein, and so did Matt from Middleton with that phone call.
That's right. Yeah. She's got an article in Rolling Stone, and also she was a guest on Amy Goodman's show, Democracy Now!, and I pulled a clip from that show where Naomi Klein describes what she wrote about in her new book, The Rise of End Times Fascism. End times is something that the religious right has been into for many, many years. So let's check this out. This is Naomi Klein on Democracy Now!
Fascism always is an attempt by the right to resolve a crisis of its own era. I mean, if you think about fascism in the 1930s, this is before the atomic bomb. It's before they understood climate change. And we are in a moment where our elites, whether they admit it or not, do understand that our economic model, and I've written books about this and talked about it with you in the past, is at war with life on Earth, right? And they are barreling down this road of more and more extraction of fossil fuels, of all kinds of, you know, basically anything they can extract from this earth and turn into energy and money, particularly now with AI, which is a energy and resource hog. And also, we're trying to understand what unites this kind of strange Frankenstein coalition that Trump represents, where he's bringing together these, the richest people in the world who have ever existed with, you know, many working class people. So what binds the vision, right? And what we come up with in this piece, or what we propose in this piece, is that they all have given up on this world. Like they all have bought into a kind of apocalyptic fever, right? Or whether it's the more populist MAGA vision of the fortress nation state, right? Which is thinking, okay, We know more and more people are going to be coming. We know that disaster is on the horizon. I've listened to a lot of Steve Bannon for you know, when I was writing Doppelganger, and it's all very survivalist, right? It's all of the commercials pretty much are selling, you know, gold because the economy is going to collapse. It sees the nation and the in-group as being inside the bunker, and then it's exiling the out-group to all of these lawless territories that you've been covering on the show.
You also write about El Salvador's terrorism confinement center, the notorious prison SECOT, where so many hundreds of people have been sent from the United States. And at the same time, in the last 24 hours, President Trump saying he wants to reopen the notorious Alcatraz, an island in San Francisco.
This is an incredibly bleak vision. Mm-hmm. So repression is always a huge part of any kind of fascist project, right? You need to contain the outgroup. You need to disappear the outgroup. Trump was elected promising all kinds of things to his base, right? He promised to eliminate inflation. He promised to bring these great jobs home. He's not delivering on any of that. So the sadistic part of his project is really all he has to offer, right? I think one of the most chilling things I've ever seen in the United States was Trump sharing that video at his 100-day rally of just pure sadism, of just looking at prisoners as entertainment, being shaved, being shackled, being paraded. And so this scales up the need for the sadism and these spectacles, right? And I think that that's what something like Alcatraz represents. He's a TV producer, first and foremost, right? He's producing spectacles. And the less he has to offer economically, tangibly, materially, the more he leans on the sadism. You know, what we're doing in this piece by laying out the bleakness of the vision, even though Trump talks about a golden age, there really isn't a future that the base believes in. You know, and this is what I've learned by consuming far too much MAGA media, Amy. They envision a future of endless war, right? And this is why they're bunkering down. This is why they're buying ready-to-eat meals to last. This is why they're buying gold and crypto. They think the whole thing is going down. So they don't believe in the future, is the bottom line. So I think that if we have the courage really to look at the bleakness of what they believe in, which is an apocalyptic future, then we have our work cut out for us of being the people who actually believe in this realm, in this world, in the beauty of creation and of each other.
There you go. That's Naomi Klein, her latest book, The Rise of End Times Fascism, her appearance on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. It's fine. Yeah, I've been talking about Naomi Klein, getting her on the show. She had a great book, Disaster Capitalism, and that's kind of what we're going through now. She didn't mention it here, but it is where you create a huge problem, cataclysmic problem, and you take advantage of it by passing things you would never be able to pass in normal times.
Right, because it's an emergency now.
Right, exactly, right. And that's what they're doing here. It's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Sam, did you have something to add there? No, okay.
And we also have a text here from Dee in Janesville passed along a few assembly bills to us, and we'll take a look at that next hour.
And also we'll find out more about the Madison Night Market, and we'll check in with Brittany Merlot on all the weather around our area. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy in the morning for this Tuesday. Stay with us.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.